So when you see a backup goalie have a performance like that, if you're a coach, if you're a GM, playing behind the real great goalies, the Henrik Lundqvist, the Patrick Waugh's, can't be easy. That was, you know what you've got, that he's got games like that in him. He has not had a very consistent year, to be perfectly honest, behind Henrik Lundqvist, but that was a show-stopping performance last night.
I thought you were talking about Spark.
Well, Sparks settled down a bit last night, but they got 23 shots on the power play, 55 in total for the Rangers backup.
Yeah, Quinn says that, you know, 5-on-5, you know, they thought they were the better team than the Leafs, and, you know, the power play with whatever, 25 shots. You know, when you watch it, you say, gee, what would you do different on the power play? And I'm thinking, well, I thought they moved it around well. I thought they had some good plays down low. They had the cross seam a couple of times. They went down low to Tavares, who went back to Kadri in the slot for some quality chances. Tavares had some good looks. Matthews had some good looks. I mean, you know, you'd take that power play last night and you'd say, geez, I mean, 5% in the last month or so. But last night, you can't, you know, those were real good looks. And the guy made some great stops. They talked about how well they defended the front of the net. They didn't defend the front of the net very well on the penalty kill because the Leafs were dominant. But 5-on-5, the Leafs didn't get a whole lot going. But anyway, it was, you know, the power play is a real frustration, and I can't imagine what Jim Hiller's going through right now dealing with this, because it's too good to be sputtering like this and not getting goals. They're getting looks, but they're not getting goals. In some games, they don't even get good looks, to be quite honest. So that's a work in progress. I mean, here's the difference. I watched Tampa Bay, Florida last night, and Tampa Bay with two power play goals. Difference in the game, you know. So as you get closer to the playoffs, you've got to have a little concern that this power play's got to hit it. But at least I liked their game last night.
It is kind of puzzling, right? Because they are getting opportunities, and you mentioned the percentage that they're capitalizing on power play opportunities, and it's even worse on the road. And I know that when it comes to special teams, home road splits are a little inconsequential, but in this case, it just paints the picture a little bit better when you're talking about their struggles. But if you have good personnel, and if you're not sure the things that they can tweak, and they're still getting opportunities, is it just enough to say, oh, they'll eventually figure it out, even though month after month they've gotten worse and worse and worse?
Well, what's the bizarre thing is that it was so dominant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no denying whether they're sputtering or not. There's unbelievable preparation going into the game plan when you play the Leafs. That is the focus. We'll deal with them 5-on-5. It's tough as it is. But we've got to make sure we take their power play away. And, you know, so it's a little tougher because there is major focus on it, even though they've sputtered. So, you know, I guess that you'd leave the game last night saying, okay, we dominated. We had unbelievable looks in the power play. I didn't like a couple of defensive plays. I mean, a Muzzin giveaway. Mm-hmm. You had a Gardner pinch. You had, you know, you just given up easy plays that get you behind the eight ball, yet they played really well. So, you know, you look at the game in Montreal, you look last night, you'd have to say they had a pretty good weekend.
Doug McLean, our guest. Penguins Flyers tonight, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet, by the way, live from Philadelphia. I noticed someone had made a comparison of Matthews with Marlowe, Matthews without Marlowe. I'll give the listeners this really quick. Matthews without Marlowe, goals scored is 17 to 14. Goals against is 18 to 20. But the chances are astronomically in favor of Austin Matthews being more productive without Marlowe on the line. Do you look at, like, if I asked you the two ideal line mates, let's assume that it's Tavares, Marner, and Hyman, and that's a group that isn't going to shuffle much more and they'll keep those together. Who would you play with Austin Matthews going in a game one playoff series and you'd try and keep them together? Who would be his two wingers?
Well, I would try Hyman with Matthews. I guess you say, you know, if Matthews, in my opinion, if Matthews isn't a star in the first round of the playoffs, and I mean star, I mean producing, you know, you're going to have a tough time. No matter if you play Boston or if you play Montreal, you need Matthews producing. So I'm giving him the best chance. But, you know, I've pushed for Marner to be with Matthews. That lasted two shifts, two games. You know, whatever. I mean, yeah. I've given up. He's stubborn, and that's fine. You know, he really believes in this makeup, in this lineup. So, you know, they've had a good year. I mean, what is unbelievable to me is that the way that we talk about the Leafs season, and yet Montreal's a point behind them or so, Boston's a point behind them. It's unbelievable how tight it is going into the final 20-plus games. So I like Hyman with them, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, Tavares to me is the veteran that can handle whoever. In my opinion, he can handle whoever. He's had it his whole career. He's made players his whole career. I would try to get Matthews on top of his game, whatever I have to do going into the playoffs, because if they don't have him going, it could be scary. And he's capable of being a dominant playoff performer with his game.
I agree with you. The team will go as far as Austin Matthews takes them for a large majority of the postseason. But someone that's been a nice revelation after a rocky start to the season is Andreas Johnsson. Since November 24th, he has 22 points, and it ranks in the top 15 of anyone in the NHL. And I'm talking like Patrick Kane, Johnny Gaudreau, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, John Tavares, all players that are above him. But the difference is he's played about 100 less minutes. How do you get him more time on ice if you think that he should get it?
Please don't talk like that, because that'll be the next thing they'll want offer sheets on is
Andreas Johnsson. We were talking about that last week.
You know what? He's fine. He's fine where he is, because I'll tell you what, when you get into the playoffs, you need two things going. Yeah, obviously your big dogs have to get it done, and you need secondary scoring. He's done a great job of that. So he's fine where he is. I don't think he needs a whole lot more. I think you just keep him going, keep his confidence high, give him a sniff the odd time, a little love. But overall, you desperately need that secondary scoring, and he's certainly been bringing it. So yeah, he's looked like a real player, and that's going to be fun as time moves on as to where he fits in long term. But he's a good player.
All right, the Anaheim scenario. You've been in this scenario as a general manager, president, where you've got to make a change, even if there's a close relationship and you don't want to. But I think what we thought, Doug, is maybe Randy Carlyle won't last the season, but there was a certain point they probably realized, well, he's not going to be our coach in September, October of 2019. So what are we waiting for? What do you make of the scenario there? And does it surprise you, Bob Murray, who's again, there couldn't be more of a quote unquote hockey guy than Bob Murray. But this isn't even like Lou Lamoriello coaching in college. He's never been behind an NHL bench, which a lot of us were surprised at.
No, I often like it too. When I fired Dave King, and I said to it, I've told you this story many times. At 11 o'clock at night, I get a call from the owner after we lost 5-0 at home to Nashville. And he said, you know, he phones me and I'm sitting in my office. He said, fire the coach. I said, fire the coach. He said, yeah, fire the coach. I said, and who's going to coach? You are. I suspect Bob got the similar call. And, you know, similar reaction. Bob's never coached, but, you know, I think he wants to go in the room and just see what's going on there and what the pressure points are and what really is happening. And, you know, did he want to do it? No, not a chance he wanted to do it, but he had no choice. This team has won 21 games. I mean, this is crazy how they've played in the last month and a half. So, you know, I can see him going down there. He hasn't coached in his career, but that doesn't matter, to be quite honest. The assistant coaches, you know, are technically looking after things, and Bob will make change the forward group. If you can't change three forwards, like seriously, that's all they do is they change the forward lines. The assistant changes the D. The assistants look after the special team. The assistants, like, if you can't talk to the media and you can't change four forward lines, what the hell are you doing?
What are you doing in hockey?
Is that also
complicated?
Is your read that Dallas Eakins would?
And if you won 2 of 22, you can't be any worse.
No, is that also your read that Dallas Eakins will be the guy in the fall? But it's so bad they didn't want to bring him in now. They want to keep him in San Diego. They want his record to be 0-0 when he starts. Is that fair?
I don't know what they think of Dallas. I mean, he had a rough go in Edmonton, but everybody has a rough go in Edmonton, so you can't judge Dallas on that. I think Dallas will be a candidate, but you know what? When you're in this situation with a critical decision that you have to make, you got to look at everybody. You got to look at who's out there, who's available, and that's why he's going into the dressing room. He wants to know what type of guy he needs with this group. And they're getting, you know, they've got a lot of guys that are getting up there in age. They got a lot of guys with big contracts. Mm-hmm. It's take Perry, Kessler, and you know, the big guy down the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, where are they with 21 million tied up in those three guys? It's going to be a challenge there for a while.